Well, this morning I want to speak 10 minutes on Jonah. Jonah in 10 minutes. Now, the book of Jonah has got four chapters, you know that. And you all know the story of Jonah. Let me tell you a bit about the background to the importance of the book. You've heard of William Tyndale in the 1520s, 1525, 1526. He translated the New Testament. When he went to the continent of Europe, he translated the New Testament. And then, having translated the New Testament into English, from Greek, he then started on the Old Testament. And he started on the Old Testament with the Pentateuch, Genesis, and those books. And then, when he had finished Genesis and the books of the Pentateuch, he moved on. And you might wonder where he would go next. You might think he'd go to Isaiah or something like that. But he actually pitched on Jonah. And he wrote a prologue to Jonah, a book introducing Jonah, and it was a fairly long prologue too, fairly big book. You see, Tyndale thought Jonah was a very important book, and he wanted it out in English as soon as he could get it. You've heard of Hugh Latimer. One of the reformers, he preached before King Edward VI, and he preached on the prophet Jonah. The reformers, Calvin commentated on the book of Jonah. The reformers thought Jonah was a very important book, and there are reasons for it. For one thing, they were living in a time when these people believed, from the time of Constantine it came in, they believed that the king, the emperor, the king, the magistrates, the government, had a big authority in the church. And you remember in the book of Jonah, the king of Nineveh makes a proclamation for repentance. And therefore, in those days, I think it's a dreadful mistake to think that the government should bring in these things, but the reformers looked upon the king and the royal family, the authorities, to bring in laws in England. Now, I think they were mistaken, but you can see what they were thinking. They also realized that in the book of Jonah, you get a nation, a big city anyway, the city of Nineveh, massive city, and it was a pagan city, wasn't a Jewish city, and they came to repentance under preaching. And you can see what the reformers, Latimer, was thinking of. You can see what Tyndale's thinking of. They were calling to England to come back to repentance, you see. And there was a third reason as well. Tyndale wanted the preachers in England to learn from the lesson of Jonah, because Jonah had held back. And they wanted the preachers to preach openly and powerfully to bring the people to repentance. So you can see they had these reasons. So that's why they went for this book of Jonah. Now, that's quite a few minutes of my 10 gone now. But there's four chapters. The first chapter, you remember, with Jonah. Jonah is commissioned by God, called by God, told by God to go to Nineveh. Now, that's a pagan city. That's very important. A pagan, not a Jewish city, not an Israel city, a pagan city. And he said, the wickedness is so great, I want you to go there and tell them that within 40 days there'll be a judgment. Now, I emphasize the fact that it was a pagan city. You remember when Jesus opened his preaching in Nazareth, he mentioned two people in the synagogue, and for that he got stoned, or they wanted a stone and threw him over the cliff. Remember, he said, there were many lepers in the time of Naaman, but only one. It was Naaman, and of course he was not a Jew, he was a Syrian. There were many widows, he said, in the time of Elijah. But only one, that was the widow at Zarephath, who got the food. And the Jews hated him for that, because, of course, they didn't want God's mercy to go to the pagans. But Jonah is sent to Nineveh to preach judgment. But you know, he runs away from God. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he takes a ship to go the opposite way. But you remember the story, they had to throw him into the sea. And he gets saved and delivered in the belly of the great fish, you remember. There he comes to his senses again, and he ends that chapter, chapter 2, with salvation is of the Lord. He comes to his senses, and he makes his vows again. He's going to renew his vow. He will go. And in the third chapter, he does go to Nineveh. And he does preach. And he does preach judgment. So he's a brave man, he's a good man. He made a mistake here, but he retraces his steps, and he comes and he preaches judgment. But towards the end of chapter 3, you find that his preaching has the effect that the king says, we must repent, and he proclaims this thing for the people to repent. And the people come to repent, and at the end of chapter 3, you'll find that Jonah sees the city of Nineveh not judged, but spared. God delivers them. And the fourth chapter, which is the most important chapter, is Jonah arguing with God about that. He says to God, this is what I knew you would do. I knew you wouldn't judge them. I knew you would have mercy upon them. He didn't run away from preaching because he was frightened of preaching judgment, but he knew that he'd be made a fool of, in the sense that he would preach judgment and God would show compassion and mercy. Mm-hmm. And he was angry about it. That's a warning, and here he is. He's angry that God is visiting these people with mercy and not judgment. He's a poor, feeble creature. And God reasons with him, and it's a very, very wonderful thing how God reasons. It's a very precious thing, this. And God says to him, look, Jonah says to him, look, he says, I know you're a gracious and compassionate God. This is what Jonah says to God. I know that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. See, Jonah knew that God was full of compassion and full of mercy for sinners. And he knew that as he was preaching judgment, it was very probable, very likely, that God would show mercy to them. And he's angry about it. You remember God deals with him about the vine, the gourd, and the maggot. You remember the worm eating the maggot? And God says, you worried about this vine, you haven't done anything for it. Shouldn't I be concerned about the people in Nineveh, he says. He says, look, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Now, I don't know how you read that. Some people read that as understanding that's children, and I think it's quite possible. In other words, this is a very big city, probably say 1 million, 2 million people, and God has mercy upon them. This, to me, is the lesson of Jonah. There's all these other lessons that I talked to you about, preachers preaching and so on. We must preach the judgment of God, but we must also preach the mercy of God. Now, this is what I want to bring out. Now, this is being recorded. This is a meeting here for a few of us believers. But unbelievers might be listening to this. Now, is there a message here for the unbeliever? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Listen to it. This comes from the Old Covenant. This comes from the Old Testament. How much more in these days, now that Jesus has come, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, he who came into the world to live and die for sinners and to die on the cross to redeem sinners. He who can say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How much more today can we preach this? So what am I going to say to anybody listening to me? China, Russia, wherever it might be, America, wherever it might be, who's unconverted. Somebody feeling there's no hope for them. What can you say to them? God is a God of judgment. The wrath of God abides on us all, my friends. We're all sinners. But, the Bible shows us plainly, does it not, that he who turns to the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, will be saved. And I can go further than that. God tells me in his words, Romans 10:21, he tells me, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. Think of that. Jesus says, why will you die? Oh, how I would have gathered you, but you were not willing. You will not come to me. Oh, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I see in my Bible that God says he is not willing that any should perish. Now, I know that judgment and hell and damnation will come to the unrepentant sinner. But the book of Jonah tells me that I can lift up my voice and say, though God is a God of wrath and holiness, he is a God of compassion and mercy, and he forgives every sinner who comes to him. That's a word for the unbeliever, but it's a word for me, my friend, because I still need mercy every day, and so do you. You are a God of compassion and mercy. Jonah said that thousands of years ago, hundreds, way back in the Old Covenant. How much more we can say it today. God is a God of mercy and compassion. So I plead with sinners, oh, come and taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Why will ye die? Souls of men, why will you perish? Why? There is no need for it, for Jesus stands ready, willing and able to save sinners. Amen.